Good evening, Lehigh Valley, and welcome to Lehigh Valley Discourse. This is Sally Hanlon, your host this evening. And as you gather from the theme song that you hear every time that I'm here, this program relates to business in the Lehigh Valley, some aspect of what's happening on the business front in the Lehigh Valley. Last month, we basically focused our year end on Allentown and the Neighborhood Improvement Zone. This year, we're starting out with a regional approach. So before I introduce my guests to you, let me just give you a little bit of background. It's been a year and a half, maybe 19 months, since Lehigh Valley Economic Development Corporation has been led by Don Cunningham. There have been many changes: boards, committees, staff, organizational focus, stakeholder accountability, both communities and investors. And the organization has been transitioning, getting positioned for what it needs to do in this 21st century. Tonight, we're getting a chance to talk to Don, and we're getting a chance to talk to the board chair, Tom Garrity, who is also the managing partner of Compass Point. So both of these gentlemen are in our studio tonight, and we're going to talk a little bit about what's happening in the Lehigh Valley from the regional perspective, where we sort of ended the year as far as the accomplishments, as well as where we see it going in 2014. So this is sort of our kickoff for 2014. And as I introduce my guests, I want to give you a little bit of background. Don, welcome back. You've been here, well, a year and a half ago you were here. You just took over.
Right. Yeah, and thank you for having me back again, Sally. Great to be here.
And you've covered a lot of territory. And for those who haven't been in the area, Don knows everybody, but in case you've been sort of on the outer planets, Don's been involved in Bethlehem and the Lehigh Valley all of his life. He's a local guy who went to Shippensburg and then graduated a master's from Villanova. He's been in politics locally, state, and we're fortunate to have him come back and lead the charge at LVEDC, Lehigh Valley Economic Development Corporation.
Thank you, Sally.
Yeah, I always love talking to you because there's so many perspectives that you bring that
I'm just surprised. I haven't been able to keep a job, so I've had a lot of different jobs. So,
well, I think the
jack of all trades.
Well, but you know, the governor, when Ed Rendell and you were in the Department of General Services, that was quite a move from the city of Bethlehem.
Yeah, that one was. That was most people don't know what the Department of General Services is, but I had the pleasure of going to work with Governor Rendell when he became governor. And Department of General Services is where about $4 billion of taxpayer money is spent that operates the core functions of government, from all those things like real estate and insurance and procurement. So I got to learn a lot about the machinery of spending and government and trying to find a way to make it work better.
Right. And then you came back and headed up Lehigh County for a period.
Yeah, I've had a great it's been an honor. I've been able to be twice elected as mayor of my hometown in Bethlehem and serve on the city council there, and then twice elected as county executive in my home county in Lehigh County. And what's really nice is, as you pointed out, and thank you for the kind words, for the last year and a half I've been able to work for this organization, Lehigh Valley Economic Development Corporation, which serves the entire region, so both counties. And our job really is, we were created 18 years ago by the business community primarily, but it's a public-private partnership with our counties, with our cities, all of our local governments and the state government to tell the story of the Lehigh Valley, our economic story, to market our region outside our borders, and to simply put, to make it easier for companies to come here, for the companies that are here to grow here or to start here. Our job is creating jobs and helping to grow the economy, and that involves so many different things I know that we're going to talk about. And the board is governed by a private board, 35 members. We've got a great board that's a cross-section of the Lehigh Valley economy. Of course, we have our mayors and our county executives and the head of the Chamber of Commerce and the Convention Visitors Bureau, but we have 25 folks that are volunteers from the private sector, from our companies, all the way from our big companies like the health networks and the Fortune 500s to smaller firms, mm-hmm. consulting firms like the one you run and Tom's operation. But it takes that cross-section of people looking at how we're going to get things done and be a coordinator for the region. And Tom's been in that role for a year and doing a great job.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was a great overview. You got it down pat. It's really good. Now, listeners, I'd like to introduce you to Tom Garrity. Tom has been around and in the Lehigh Valley for quite a while as well, but some of you may not be as familiar with him. His business is Compass Point, and he's the managing partner of Compass Point, which is now a division of Kincannon Miller, Tom?
An affiliate.
Yeah. Okay. And Tom has traveled, and I was amazed, Tom, when I looked at your background, because I've known you for years, but you never know the full depth of somebody's background, that you have traveled extensively throughout the world. So you've had an opportunity to see a lot of different places and a lot of different business operations, correct?
Yeah, first of all, thanks for having me here. It's great to be here and tell a little bit of the story of the Lehigh Valley and the region. I've had a great career. In the private sector, I ran a couple of companies that we had a lot of business out in the Pac Rim and a fair amount in Western Europe. So yeah, got a lot of taste of different businesses. And I think probably more than anything is when you grow up here in the States, it's hard to really realize how all the privileges we have around business. I mean, you go into most of the really free countries around the world, and it's not easy to get into business. Three of us could get together tonight and start one, and you can't do that in most of the world. So this is, we certainly have plenty of our challenges, but it's clearly the land of opportunity, and I think that perspective from the travel has been good for me in that respect.
Well, yeah, and you bring a value to the position because you have been outside the valley so often and in many of the organizations here in the Lehigh Valley. I mean, people have just sort of stayed here, grew up here, whatever, and they don't get that perspective. Don, at least you got out into the state, into some other areas that you could see it from a different perspective.
Yeah, you're right about that. And I think fortunately right now, I mean, a lot has changed in this area. As you pointed out, I grew up here. Traditional story, my father was a steel worker, my grandfathers were tradesmen and steel workers, and what's the dynamic that has occurred in the Lehigh Valley over the last two decades, but really from the demarcation line for me was the end of steel in 98, has been this infusion of new perspective, new folks from outside the area in. And I think it has tremendously strengthened. I mean, the outlook and what we're doing in the valley, and thankfully for it, because this economy has changed incredibly over the last two decades. But we have not only survived, but we've come out of the transition out of heavy industry and steel with a better economy, a more stable economy,
and a more diversified
economy, and actually more in total employment. The challenge in America and the challenge in the Lehigh Valley is no different, remains. Today, if you are low-skilled or no-skilled, if you simply graduate from high school or you don't get that high school diploma and you don't layer onto that a more specific skill, whether that be a vocational or a technical skill or something more, it is very difficult to keep you and your family income-wise above the poverty line.
Right.
And I think that's the great challenge for one of the challenges for those of us who work in economic development. And the challenge to America is while we become more technological, more automated, if we don't get all of our people trained in a higher level of skill, will we have employment for which they can realize their slice of the American dream? Yeah, and I was with the Allentown School District Superintendent today up at LTRIC and with a bunch of other school superintendents, and we were talking about this issue of poverty and how we provide employment or increase skill levels for people. So there's so much that can be worked on, but short of that, I think this economy is a healthier one and better one than my father lived in and my grandfather lived in, right here in the Lehigh Valley. So it's been certainly fun to try to make it work even better for the future, the near term, and for future generations.
Let's talk a little bit about education, because I know that's something that both of you guys have been talking about. Recently I shared an article that Europe is in the same sort of quandary that we are. How do you get your arms? I realize LVEDC, covers all the territory geographically, and we have all these organizations that are part of us, but when everybody's got a bite of something, how do you really get any action? Tom, how do you get anything going?
Well, it's a great question. I think that like all big problems, you've got to start somewhere. Start taking a bite at the apple, so to speak, at the elephant. And in this case, you know, we're still exploring where that may be. Everything from our high school systems, especially in our urban schools, and we're not the only ones thinking like this, right?
Correct.
I mean, lots of folks are looking at this. It's a big issue, and there are no single solutions, I think, is the big piece of it. And I think there's enough conversation around it that it's not going to get swept under the carpet. To Don's point, it's a big issue. If we don't solve this, then how are we going to solve all the social challenges that we have? You know, you can't just walk away from that stuff. So there, and it's not going to ever be perfect, but we've got to take it on. And from our standpoint, from an economic development organization, you know, we've got to put talent on the street. This is completely a talent game.
Right.
You know, how we're going to attract businesses here is going to be who's got the talent. That's where we're going to go. Now you've got to have good facilities. It's got to make sense. It's got to make sense to the distribution of your customers or all those pieces. But it's a talent game. And talent, Don and I have had this conversation. Talent's not just at the top. Organizations need talent throughout the entire organization. And to Don's point, everybody's got to come with a level of skill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's not just good enough to be a number in the game anymore.
Right.
And that doesn't mean everybody needs to be in fact, they don't need to be the college grad, but they've got to bring more to the table than just the ability.
Okay, but businesses aren't necessarily doing the training that they once used to do either. You know, so.
Well, you know, and I'm not quite sure who originally said it. It's often attributed to Hubert Humphrey and maybe Eugene McCarthy that the best social program is a job. Right. And so much of our political discourse and having spent 20 years in the public sector is around social safety net. How far do we go on universal health care? How far do we go on unemployment insurance? Those debates ring on and on in America. But really what's at the core of solving a lot of those problems, because I don't believe anybody really wants to be on the dole, so to speak. They're there because they really, for the most part, don't have a means to not be. So the answer to your question, I think the core of this is it's a shared responsibility, right? It's a responsibility of the individual to educate themselves and try to do the best they can to acquire skills. There's a level of responsibility on corporations not to just rush to the lowest common denominator and have to invest a bit in training and workforce and preparing people the right way to do a job effectively and efficiently within their company. And then I think the ecosystem of the community, the education community, the economic development community, the chambers, the ED world, have a responsibility to make the system delivery as effective and as efficient as it can be. And I think Tom touched on a really big point about talent and skills. When I was growing up, and you know, when I was blue collar kid, it was you got to go to college, right? So
right.
We pumped this idea into all the kids that the way to success, and it still is from a wage study perspective. If you have a college degree, on average, you're going to do better in America than those that don't. But now there's this interesting issue of, it's not just about a four-year bachelor's degree, but it's about acquiring some specific skills and destigmatizing vocational technical skill development. Because honestly, in our economy, if you're a skilled welder or a tradesman person, you're going to come out of school, even if it's a two-year degree or a certificate program, potentially making more than the college graduate with a psychology degree or a sociology degree from a four-year Bachelor of Arts school, because the economy needs your skills right now more than they need a sociologist or a psychologist. I always got to do an addendum on this because of my friends in education. I'm only talking about from an economic and jobs perspective. There's a whole personal development side to learning,
correct,
to reading the classics, correct, and getting a liberal arts background, which develops you as a human being and you acquire wisdom. But I'm merely talking from a go
job.
Get a paycheck. The economy right now probably has better paying jobs in general for people with a very specific vocational trade skill.
Yeah, and I'd jump on that to echo the as you were going through the different stakeholders that have a responsibility in this whole skills development and skills training. To me, fundamentally, it goes back to the very fabric of society. It's the family. And you talked about the stigma. The family unit, and that's different than it was even 10 years ago. It's changing. But nonetheless, there's a core family unit. And that family unit needs to start having the discussions with their kids and helping them understand what the opportunities are. And you know what? It's not Votech because you can't do anything else. Because you're really good at building, and they need folks that can build, and you can have a really good lifestyle doing that, and here's how we're going to do it. So now you got a kid who's grade school, middle school, growing up with, that's my game. And it's not about getting to high school and everybody goes, well, I'm not going to college. I guess there's nothing else to do. And so that's a basic area that it's got to start.
Yeah, you're correct. We've got to get it down to its common denominator, which is the family. And listeners, this is, as I said early on, this is not just a Lehigh Valley situation. This is universal in the States and international as well. So I said we're all trying to figure out, you know, what we can do to correct this. Let's get back to comment you made early on, Don, about private-public partnerships. Those seem to be delicate things to work with and balance, and we've got a lot of that happening now. LVEDC obviously is the biggest example of it, but with the NIS, we've got some things going on there. Now with the CRIS, Revitalization Tax
Community.
Okay, here that Bethlehem just got. So we're fostering a lot of this private-public stuff.
Yeah.
Is that hard to manage? Is there a trick to that to make it work? Because everybody's got different platforms that they're coming from.
Well, you know, there's been a great debate, and I think it was probably about a year ago the New York Times did a big series on public incentives and economic development. And I think it's a very healthy debate. And from my view of watching what has transformed in terms of governments playing a role in incentivizing or making development cheaper, more cost-effective for businesses to grow in a particular location. I believe that's gotten better. I mean, I think this neighborhood improvement zone concept in Allentown, the community revitalization concept in Bethlehem, is a much healthier way than the big giveaways to one corporation. You know, when we first started in this game, and we're in the Mid-Atlantic, we're in the Northeast region, which is the biggest region for lots of across-state poaching, right? I mean, we've been the beneficiaries of migration of companies out of Jersey into eastern Pennsylvania. But the states have been at war with one another,
correct,
putting money on the table. These new programs are really more about developing in areas that need help, revitalizing cities, kind of brownfields, urban cores, and doing it with not outlays of dollars, but saying, we'll let the tax collection remain local. And that's what people here have to understand. What those two programs really are about is a state government, which has tremendous muscle, saying all the taxes these companies would have paid that would have gone to Harrisburg, we're going to let a portion of that stay in your region to reinvest back in helping these, subsidizing in essence, or incentivizing these companies to grow. And I think it's a much more market-based approach. It's a much more strategic approach, and it's not just trying to go poach a company from another state with a big outlay of dollars that maybe in 10 years they'll be gone.
Yeah, it's almost sort of like an employee stock ownership situation where, you know, you're putting things in and you're getting it back based on the effort that you're putting into the equation. Listeners, please stay with us. We're going to take a short break, but we'll be back. This is Sally Hanlon on WDIY 88.1 FM, Lehigh Valley Discourse.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. For more information, visit wdiy.org.
Thank you.
Welcome back, Lehigh Valley. This is Sally Hanlon, and this evening we have in the studio here my guests, Don Cunningham and Tom Garrity. Tom is chair of the board of Lehigh Valley Economic Development Corporation, and Don, as many of you know, is the president and CEO of LVEDC, and he's been there for the past 19 months. And we're just talking about things with economic development and what's happening here in the region of the Lehigh Valley. And before break, we were talking a little bit about the CRIS and the NIS and the, you know, the tax incentive programs, which I think, Don, I think you did a really great job at explaining what it is and the fact that the Harrisburg's giving us back or letting us not give everything to them. Yeah. We're keeping it based on our projects.
Yeah, if people could think of it, the really the old formula that, you know, it still exists, but the most predominant way that state governments incentivized economic growth and jobs would be a direct outlay of money from the state treasury toward a project. You know, many people have heard about RCAP or RACP, and I worked in an administration for Governor Rendell where, you know, the governor probably did $1 billion worth of outlays for companies, and it worked at a certain level. This new approach of these programs, which the NIS in Allentown, which started under Governor Rendell and Governor Corbett has embraced, and now the state has added these smaller zones, which Bethlehem just received, is really about the dollars that a business would pay that would go to Harrisburg into the state treasury, staying within that zone to be used to finance those projects, which I think is a governmentally a much better way, and from an economic development sustainability perspective is a much healthier way to go about it. Interestingly, when anything new comes out, there's always a backlash when people don't understand it. I don't think many of us understood the NIS in Allentown initially, but I think if most people peel back the layers of the onion, this is a healthier way for the state government to help cities and regions grow their economy in specific areas where it would otherwise be difficult on a straight market basis to develop it.
Well, I think, you know, from a government standpoint too, it, as a business, they got a little bit of a budget issue. So this is a way to really drive economic development utilizing the local area, wherever that's going to be, those tax dollars, and not trying to find them somewhere else and reallocate them and et cetera. So it's, I think it's made it, I think it's something that we're going to see more of. I think there's going to be continued opportunities around this type of support and financing.
It's an interesting time.
Yeah.
And I think, if I may, just one point, it's I think it's important for people to realize that in this really historic transformational economy that we live in, that I think historians will look back at, you know, since the advent of the iPhone and look at this as much of an economic transformational age as the Industrial Revolutions were, the first and second in the 19th century, is that has been such a game changer that the idea of just, you know, Lehigh County competing with Northampton County or Allentown competing with Bethlehem, for that matter, our competition now in the Lehigh Valley for job growth and job creation and companies evolving is not across borders here. It's not even just across borders to the 50 states. It's international. I mean, this is a global economy. A lot of the recruitments we're working on right now are China, Europe, South America. One of the most robust potential markets for business movement into the U.S. is from overseas. We want the Lehigh Valley as one of the top 75 metropolitan areas in the United States. And yes, I said that. We are the 68th largest metropolitan area. For all you Lehigh Valley listeners out there, this is not some – we have a $32 billion economy with 15,000 companies. We can land international businesses just as Houston can and Norfolk can and Charlotte and all these other markets, Cincinnati. We have to start seeing ourselves that way and thinking that way. It's not a battle of Lehigh and Northampton County. Those days are over.
We can't afford to do that anymore.
This is a global – we have to be prepared with the talent, the quality of place, the infrastructure in order to win this game on a national and international level.
Yeah, and it's incredible, some of the companies that you had mentioned that we're looking at. One of the things I just wanted to mention when you were talking about the use of the tax dollars back in the community, having been in programs that were recipients of some of the state and federal dollars, seems to me that this is a much more effective use of the funds, that they'll actually get used for what they're intended to be used for.
Well, that and there's real skin in the game.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to make these projects work or you're not getting dollars back. So it makes a lot of sense. It solves a budget challenge for the government, for the state in this case, state and local. It puts skin in the game. I mean,
right.
You're not automatically, hey, I'm going to be in the CRIS and here's what I'm going to do. No, it has to be approved. I mean, you've got to have a viable project that is really going to generate the kind of tax revenues that can help support these bonds. And then you got to show up and do it. So I think it's a great program in that respect.
When it gets back to your point, Sally, the public-private partnership equation, that it's where this discussion began. Government's helping a little bit, but this is really driven by companies. I mean, we won both of these designations because we had private developers that were willing and ready to invest in downtown Allentown, City Center, J.B. Reilly, Lee Butz, over here in Bethlehem from the Sands to Majestic to Dennis Banner, mm-hmm. and the folks who own Martin Towers. Without the private developers willing to invest, this is not a charity program. This is, if you have the developers, we're going to help you a little bit by letting our money stay back with you.
Right, right. Interesting. Mm-hmm. And listeners, you heard Don say that we are the 68th largest metropolitan region. And based on that, I learned yesterday that the Lehigh Valley is going to be part of a broker dealers or?
Oh, the emerging market.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right. This is not public yet, so it'll be the. That's all right. The WDIY audience will be the first to hear it, but they'll be hearing more about it as the brokers announce it. As every profession has a national association, the Commercial and Industrial Real Estate Brokers of America have a national association. Every year they have their big annual national conference, and they name two markets, regions across the U.S. that they see as they call it emerging. I have a little trouble with that word because I think we've been emerging for quite some time. But that means they're discovering us.
Right.
So we will be featured this year. Lehigh Valley will be recognized along with Norfolk, Virginia, as one of the two emerging markets in the nation by the Commercial and Industrial Real Estate Brokers. The significance of this, obviously, is the brokers from all 50 states will be there, and we will be highlighted in about a half-hour presentation and then a ensuing panel discussion with site selectors and brokers about the significance of the economy and the opportunities that are in the Lehigh County and Northampton County region of Pennsylvania, which is a pretty big deal.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And as the story's been broken right here on WDIY on your show.
Thank you. I didn't realize it was not totally out yet, so I apologize. Yeah, but no, I just think it's wonderful to have, because you can't pay for that type of publicity. I mean, you couldn't afford it. And, you know, to have that visibility. And I'm sure you and some other folks from LVEDC will probably be at that event as well.
We'll be there. And I think a lot of, and I really want to, the credit goes to the people who have been working in economic development and the real estate world here for a long time, making it not an emerging market, but a strong market, because their work and it being, it's really a recognition that, we've got a lot to offer. We're asset rich, and we're doing things right. I mean, we still have a lot more to do, but getting in front—it's probably worth about $1 million worth of marketing, at least, to get in front of that whole group at one shot of people who really move the dial in their world.
Well, and as we look at sort of unique things, we are one of the only 30 internationally credited economic development corporations, correct?
That's true. And, like I said, every those people out there listening know that every professional group has its own association in the world of economic development. There's an International Economic Development Council, of which the Lehigh Valley has been a member for a long time. And they have an accreditation process, you know, much like a lot of professions will accredit. And it really requires a organization willing to go through self-examination, mm-hmm. really, to open up your books and your process and your program to outsiders to look at it, review it. And we're fortunate 3 years ago under Phil Mittman's leadership and who was Don Bernhard, who was chair, they went through that process and the organization won accreditation. And that lasts for 3 years. So just the end of last year, we went through the re-review and once again got the stamp of approval, which basically says we've got a good program. We know what we're doing right. Like I said, we still have more to do right and more to do, but it's nice to know that the folks who are national and international professionals in this have said the Lehigh Valley is doing the right thing with its program.
Now, does that help us out with the broker-dealers and when they see that we have an economic development corporation that's certified? And
I think put it this way, it cannot hurt. We don't wave it in front of people because I think that, your value added is proven by the work you do. I mean, if just waving an accreditation flag alone doesn't get it done, you have mm-hmm. to get it done in your daily work. But I think for those who know, the site selectors, the broker and development community, they know, okay, we're not dealing with a bunch of rookies here. This area has thought through its program. It has the right elements of economic development programming. But then again, we have to go out and prove it with each interaction we have with our companies that are here and the companies that we're trying to bring here.
Yeah. Tom, you've taken over the reins of chairing the board at a time when the organization really has sort of redefined itself. Bylaws, members, the whole bit.
It's been a busy year, hasn't
it? It has been. I could go down a whole list here. What has been the most satisfying from your perspective as you've sort of gained control and sort of led the board group and you've seen this happen? What has been maybe an aha or a yes, I knew we had it right?
Yeah, great question. In my day job, mm-hmm. that I work in the private sector in the family closely held businesses and strategic planning, succession planning, some exit planning. How that relates to this and what my, I don't know so much aha, but like there, we nailed it. We had been, quite frankly, adrift as an organization. Lots of good things being done, good people, but we lost our focus. Mm-hmm. And when you lose your focus in a company, it doesn't take very far down the path of the employees to go, so what are we doing? Where are we going? So you're losing contribution. We all hear about this employee engagement. And all. Well, that all happens for a reason because people don't know what's going on. We got back to basics. I mean, it's really pretty practical. We just simply said our job is to attract and retain and start. Now, there's a lot of parts to all that, but that's what we do. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If whatever we're doing doesn't do that, then we shouldn't be doing it. Somebody else, probably important, maybe it is important, but somebody else does that. We do this.
Yeah.
I think that's been the biggest thing. And then once we got crystal clear on that as an organization, that's when it began. Now we're able to step back and go, so now what does the organization need to look like to execute, to really execute at the highest level? So it was some reorg in terms of the seats, some seats we didn't have. We needed some additional talent in the organization. And watching that come together, watching that team starting to develop and really become cohesive and running with the ball. Mm-hmm. The organization really for a long time was being run by the board to some extent. Board was saying, and then staff was executing. We're reversing that. We get professionals. The board is extremely important because we're bringing perspective and challenging the assumptions on what the staff's doing. But we've got professionals running the organization now. That's
not need to get
we
out
didn't
of the way.
Have professionals, but we've stepped up the game.
Yeah, and if one thing I would say is that, for those people who are listening out there, we're fortunate in the Lehigh Valley that there was a strong movement to think beyond our borders, right? I grew up here, and for those people who grew up here, you know, if you grew up in Bethlehem, you rarely went to Allentown. You never went to Easton. You got lost when you went to Allentown. People mm-hmm. stayed within their own borders. And that was the culture, and that was the way things were. And some forward-thinking people saw that for this region to transform out of an individual economy in Bethlehem around steel, an individual economy in Allentown around garment mills and auto manufacturing, it was going to have to think regionally. It was going to have to pull together this tapestry of the three cities and the 62 municipalities and the two counties and not duplicate everything. So this region did a great job quietly 20 years ago, 25 years ago, of creating regional organizations, a regional chamber of commerce, regional economic development strategy. What's important to remember is most people don't know what all these different acronyms are right. and who does what, from LVDC to MRC to SBDC to everything else. And I think the organizations themselves have to remember that we're here to get it done at a big picture level. And I think Tom made a big point is, you know, this group that we're involved with, if we're doing our job well, we're simply trying to put on the table big picture challenges, work towards solutions, and connect all of these players, right? Because right. as you've been talking about, the answers lie across a broad range of school district, tech schools, community colleges, higher ed, counties, cities, you know, private sector investors, banks, brokers. I mean, we are talking about something that no one organization controls. And if we're doing our job really well, we're putting the right issues on the table, getting a large group of people to kind of generally buy into a strategy. Not everybody's always going to agree. And then be the connector, right? And I think our region, sometimes we're critical of ourselves, and it's good to stay critical of ourselves. But as I traveled around Pennsylvania mm-hmm. in my time with the state, we do it better than most. We can do it even better, but we do it better than most. And that's why the Lehigh Valley remains one of the fastest growing, if not the last 5 years, the fastest growing area in Pennsylvania. And we've replaced every job that was lost during the recession, oh, plus some.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
We've had job growth that is on the plus side of what was lost in the recession.
Interesting.
Now, that doesn't mean every single person out there is feeling the benefit of that, because there are people out there that still don't have jobs, that are still struggling. But as a region, they've been replaced.
Interesting. I remember back in the 80s when the regionalization was just sort of coming about, and I think United Way was one of the first to go to and it was like a hard-fought battle. And I was just saying to someone recently that I haven't heard for a while now, maybe within the last year, people thinking that you have to take a lunch if you go from Allentown to, you know, East End, you know, because you're going to spend the day there. I mean, that used to be pretty much the mentality, you know, yeah. as you sort of got stopped at the borders. But we still, though, have a long way to go. I mean, let's talk a little bit about the Council of Municipalities, okay? And this is something that you have designed at LVEDC. Why don't you just explain it, and then we'll take a brief break and come back to it.
Real quick, we have 62 local governments here. Everybody focuses on the three cities, Allentown, Bethlehem, and Easton. But then there's 59 others that are townships and boroughs. And they play as big of a role as anyone in land use policy, how we grow, how we develop, and they are critical. So if we don't have all the leaders, both elected and appointed, at some collective table thinking about it, we are missing the boat. So we are attempting to have that exist in our creation of this local government council, where we have representatives of all 62 municipalities voluntarily coming together to talk about and be party to the issues of economic growth and development, how we grow and how we want to grow.
Sort of on a very sort of high level, and then they bring it down and interpret it to how it impacts their area.
Yeah, and I know we're up against time for the break here, but the reality is each local government is sovereign.
Right.
They decide zoning, planning, development issues, and we have to remember that. And even if they're 1 square mile, like the borough sitting right to our left here in Fountain Hill, it might be 1 square mile, but they will decide that for themselves.
Okay. Listeners, please stay with us as we take a brief break. This is Sally Hanlon, your host this evening on Lehigh Valley Discourse, WDIY 88.1 FM.
Join us for Winter Blast 2014. WDIY's annual party is happening Saturday, February 1st at Miller Symphony Hall in Allentown. Tickets are available at wdiy.org. Winter Blast tickets include complimentary food, drinks, and the live rockin' sounds of the Doughboys. Go to wdiy.org and get your tickets today.
Welcome back, listeners. This is Sally Hanlon, and this evening in the studio with me is Don Cunningham, President and CEO of Lehigh Valley Economic Development Corporation, and Tom Garrity, Managing Partner of Compass Point and Chair of the Board of Lehigh Valley Economic Development Corporation. Before our brief break, we were talking about this government, Council of Governments that LVEDC has just recently put together. Have you had any meetings, Don? One, two?
Yes, we had one meeting, and it started the last quarter of 2013. We launched it, and interestingly, that meeting was around what some of the listeners will be hearing more about in the first quarter of this year, which is we have engaged through the help of the federal government, HUD, on a regional economic development study, and we have hired a economics firm out of Atlanta, Georgia, that works both for regions and for companies to assess the assets, the attributes, the strengths, the weaknesses of a given region, and help that region develop strategies, plans around economic growth. This will be the first time that the Lehigh Valley really has had a external report card, if you will. This firm is just finishing its work on looking at about 70 factors that are key in every economy, measuring the Lehigh Valley against national averages, state averages, and we picked a couple communities to compare ourselves to that we viewed as competition, if you will, Allegheny County out in western Pennsylvania and some counties in North Carolina that share a lot of attributes to the Lehigh Valley. And our first meeting of the local government officials, which, again, it's voluntary for them to participate, we had a little more than half the 62 show up, which was great for the first time out. And we had the principal of the firm, Garner Economics, a man named Jay Garner, speak to them about the work he was doing. On February 19th here in South Bethlehem, Jay Garner will be back to roll out a lot of his findings. Interestingly, though, which fits with some of what we were earlier talking about, what he has said to me privately is, and he does this all over the country, that the Lehigh Valley is as asset-rich as any place he's looked at. Which squares with, you know, us thinking about ourselves as we're the 68th largest metropolitan region. We ought to be competing with all those name places that everyone thinks of when they think of large areas in the United States. So it's important for the local government folks to be part of the economic development discussion, to realize that what they do in those township supervisor meetings on a Wednesday night in Lynn Township or in Lower Mount Bethel is not just about there. It fits into the fabric. Yeah. It fits into the fabric, the decisions they make about whether there's going to zone certain portions of land for commercial, industrial, or residential, or farmland preservation. That's critical for us to know that, to know how it fits into the broader use. So I think the time is really right for LVEDC to reach beyond just the three cities and the two counties to touch these local. They have to want to, and it's these things tend to take a little bit of time, but I think they're worthwhile. So the timing is good to now get the engagement of all these folks.
Well, just the communication.
Yeah.
I mean, we all know what it's like in an organization when you don't feel like you're being communicated to, or you know what's going on, or, you know, even if you can't make a direct impact right away, having that knowledge is just so valuable.
It takes more work, and it takes, but it's the right, and Tom and you and others have embraced this idea of, let's take the economic development organization of the region and get more stakeholders involved aware. And while you can't have 500 people on a board, maybe once a quarter you can bring certain stakeholder groups together, whether they be local government officials or brokers or developers or small business owners, minority-owned, women-owned, and small businesses to talk about economic development strategies that would touch their corner of the world.
Right, right. One of the other councils that you have made as a part of the new transition is the Minority and Women-Owned Business Council. And we had a very charged discussion, and Tom, I'm going to have you lead into the discussion from yesterday's meeting about, you know, the small businesses, the local sourcing that goes on or doesn't go on or should go on.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we think there's a tremendous opportunity, and quite frankly, we know there is, because we've had buy-in both from the large corps as well as the small business sector. Making it work, well, that'll be part of the challenge. But the concept is, with a lot of our large businesses in this region, can we find a way to connect, from a supply chain standpoint, our small businesses to support them, to support some of their needs from a procurement standpoint? And, you know, think about that. We've got a $30 billion economy. Well, what if we started trading more of that internally? That's not even new businesses or anybody growing. That's just, well, the small businesses would grow,
sure.
Right? And that money's all staying in the region. It makes great sense. And, you know, to your point, yesterday in the board meeting, it was a pretty spirited discussion with some, you know, significant companies in the region going, we can make that happen. We like what we saw the first time. You led that whole effort in bringing that group, the two groups together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as you've said, there's more work to be done there, but we think this is a tremendous opportunity to really help our small business community, both, you know, minority women-owned, other small business, and not just helping them, but we can help them, we can help the big businesses too.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, these people, when it's set up right and they're trained properly and they know how to service and they can manage whatever their little piece is, a local supplier, you know, it can't get any better than that.
And if I could just give a couple statistics, I'd mentioned earlier that we have more than 15,000 employers, businesses in the, not all private sector businesses, employers. Some of them are nonprofits and education, obviously, but in the Lehigh Valley. But 11,000, more than 11,000 of those 15,000 have 9 employees or less. Mm-hmm. And then you pointed out to me, Sally, that
50% of that is 5 or less employees.
Okay, so that's got to be in the area of 6,000 of have 5 or less. Mm-hmm. 11 of that 11,000 total.
Correct.
And really, what we're talking about here is really a principle of economics, is that if the money flow, if more of the money flow stays within the valley, we will create more jobs, more opportunity, and more business growth. So if a health network like Lehigh Valley Hospital and Health Network or St. Luke's, which employs 12,000, 10,000 people respectively that are $2 billion operations plus, when they're buying their supplies, when they're buying their services, when they're building new additions, if a larger percentage of that is going to Lehigh Valley companies, we will create more jobs and grow our economy. Now, that said, for this type of process to work, it can't be based on charity. It can't be based on, well, we're going to do this. But to Tom's point, and I think what you've been working on, Sally, is for us to identify the smaller businesses that can provide those services, can provide those products, do it cost competitively, do it quality competitively, and then get the buy-in of the larger buyers to look here, mm-hmm. you know? And so each side has to bring value, but if we can make that connection, I think it's going to be a powerful force for job growth and business growth in the Lehigh Valley.
I think if we can do it, we'll be a model for other communities, just like we're doing with some of the other stuff, like the NIS and the CRIS and whatever. But because it is so powerful, I know firsthand as a small business owner what having a major contract can do sure. for a business. And, you know, it has allowed me to hire some folks on a part-time basis, but I have not been able to do that before. And so you just get a few businesses being able to do that. And then also to being able to maybe focus some of their products or services in support of that supply chain need. You know, a lot of small businesses may be doing something similar, but not exactly. And if they find out that they can do something locally and do it well and be supported, I mean, we're evolving, you know, the business chain.
You know, and this is, I call it trench warfare, because it's so difficult, because, it's unlocking the mystery for the small business on, well, how do you even access a PPL or an Air Products or a Lehigh Valley Hospital? That's a great mystery of how do you go about that. And then for those larger procurement people that are, they're working hard.
They have
a job to do. They've got to deliver quality for their organization. They've got to deliver price for their organization. And they will... their viewfinder may or may not find these small businesses. So it's, I want to say that, Sally, you chair this group for us. You really drove the expo that happened last October, which put 60-plus larger businesses in a room with the right people, the procurement people, the purchasing folks, and then a bunch of small businesses mm-hmm. from the region that got to meet them. And it gets down to that level of, you know, Joe meeting Sally, and then again, that quality has to be there. That,
correct.
You know,
yes.
if it's not, it will fail. I was involved in this in the state, as we talked about earlier, with procurement and trying to get a better connection to disadvantaged businesses specifically. But if it's a charity program, if it's a set aside, if the quality's not there, it will quickly dissipate. And that's what I think we need to be focused
yeah.
on, to sustain it.
Right.
And, you know, I used the example yesterday when we recruit a company to come in, and we'll take the example of the Bimbo Bakery that's being built in Upper Macungie. They will spend $100 million in the startup of just that unit here in the Lehigh Valley, purchase of land, building of it, the purchase of engineering and architecture services, the contracting. If a large portion of that $100 million is spent with companies here, that really fuels the economy. If all of those services and all of that process is companies coming in, we'll get a little spinoff. They
right.
may stay in a hotel room. They may eat in a restaurant. But that $100 million might as well be $2 million for the leveraging of it into our GDP, into our economy.
Yeah, if we just had even a small percentage of budgets. I mean, you know, have a few budgets, you know, of the larger companies that got reinvested. I think we could start to have the examples to be able to share. And it's value. We have to be value competitive. You know, the small business has to be value competitive. It might not be the best price, but if it's a value priced service or product, that they actually see the benefit of being local, because it doesn't have to, you know, be carried far, it doesn't have to travel far, it doesn't have require other things. We've got it made. So that's sort of the goal that we need to do. And I think, you know, based on the discussion yesterday, we have a good group on the board that's really very much behind this.
Yeah, I'd say if the best social program for a person is a job, The best business development program for a business is a contract.
Absolutely.
Is a customer.
Who
has a contract?
Yeah.
B2B. Yes.
Is a customer. Yeah.
Tom, I would like to just for a moment or two, since we're wrapping up on the hour, you mentioned a little bit about Compass Point and what you do. Would you just reiterate that? Because I don't want that to get lost, because the value of what your company does, we're actually getting at Lehigh Valley Economic Development's board. So if you could share that.
Sure. So we really have two divisions in the organization. The one that I run and manage and where we kind of have grown from is the private sector. So closely held family businesses. Generally not early stage. They've been in business for a while. And they really have two components that make them attractive to us. So not everybody falls in this, but if they fall in these two buckets, then we probably want to meet them and work with them. First is they want to grow. So they've either hit sort of a level of complexity and they can't break through it. So we kind of look at the market and go, in general, you sort of hit a million, 10 million, 20 million, 50 million, 100 million, 250. Now we're in another game. But in those levels of complexity, companies get stuck, and we're really good at working with them to help them break through that. And the other piece that that we are really good at and that we enjoy and that makes sense for us to work with is a company that cares about its legacy. Now, legacy might be even selling the business to a third party, but you've got to create a legacy to sell something. Mm-hmm. So, you know, companies that are thinking like that, or they're thinking internally, if it's a family transition or key employees, we get involved in a lot of that and helping those companies design themselves and operate in position so they can create a legacy and perpetuate themselves. So that back, and then the other sector is we do a lot of work in the government sector and a lot of, going in and helping around process work and execution around programs and where we can provide some capacity and some expertise. So from my standpoint, around that whole succession planning and the people, I mean, from a strategy standpoint, working with companies, I always say this is a talent game. So we started with that mm-hmm. earlier in your mm-hmm. program. It's always a talent game. It's always who first. If you don't get who right, I don't care how good your strategy is, you will always stall out. Yeah. The culture will eat strategy's lunch every day. So you've got to get the right people, and that takes a lot of work. It's not easy, and it never's done, because people change, markets change, customers change. Team might not be right today that was right yesterday, but you got to keep working at it. And I think that's one of the gifts Don has and has really brought to the organization is you've focused an effort on that, on getting the who right. You get that right, now you get people aligned around a common set of values. They're not right or wrong, but they're ours. So this is the game. Here's how we're going to play. Here's how we're going to play with each other. Here's how we're going to play with our customers, our stakeholders. You got a purpose that people are like engaged around, like I'm in that game, and a vision that is inspiring and is that worth getting out of bed for? That's what the leadership work is done almost at that point.
Right.
So that's the work we do, and working with Don have tried to share some of that in helping build this organization. Don's done a couple of things. You've schooled me a few times. one of them is, this is not about us. LVEDC is simply the mechanism. As you've talked about this fabric of regionalism and tying it together and being a point of a single point of contact, et cetera. But nobody has to do what we say. I mean, we're not a governing body that goes, here, you need to do that.
Right.
So our job is to provide great leadership. Well, how do you do that? You got to have a really good team that gets it and is aligned again around what I talked about earlier. So that's a little bit of what
great,
I brought to the table.
To wrap it up.
Right. That and you can tell audience that he's not too passionate about what he does. You should see the motions, the hand gestures we're getting here.
And he's not even Italian.
That's right. We're about to wrap up. I do want to just mention one other thing, or Don, if you want to make a comment about it. We have a video that's launching, and it will be available sometime.
Correct. At the end of the month, unbelievable video done by Fire Rock Productions, a local video company that is 2 minutes, and it tells the story of the Lehigh Valley economy in blazing way in 2 minutes.
Okay. Listeners, we'll probably have that video available and online at WDIY. I want to talk to Wagner about that. We have to wrap up quickly. I want to thank my guests, Tom and Don, for being here this evening. Thank you so much. And listeners, I hope you got a lot of good information about what's happening here in the Lehigh Valley. Stay tuned.
Yeah, thank you, Sally.
Thank you.
Thank you. Stay tuned. Celtic Fair is up next.